This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
We're going to be talking about swine flu / influenza / H1N1 virus.
Yes.
But what else is
there? We are going to be talking about smoking, but also tobacco and the tobacco industry, because on Sunday it is World No Tobacco Day. And we'll also briefly mention the new national STI campaign that's been developed by the government. And we'd love to hear from you tonight, because we're going to have a look through some of the changes that have been made over the past couple of decades in the area of smoking, whether it's legislation and some of the social marketing campaigns and some of the bans that have been put in place to try and reduce the number of people that are smoking. So if you've got a story about, or perhaps your smoking, quitting smoking success, or what has worked for you, or what you think just works in general, perhaps you're a non-smoker and you think those ads are disgusting.
Or perhaps you're a smoker and think that all the so far, all the social marketing tools are a bit naff and just pointless. Who knows? Let us know. But if you want to let us know, you can send us an SMS on 0427-JOY949. You can send us an email right here in the studio, and the email address is onair@joy.org.au. Or you can call the lovely Gordon, and he's sitting by the phone waiting to hear the sound of your sultry voice as well. And the number is 96992949.
And if you are sitting at your computer, it'll be a good opportunity, because we're going to talk about some of the ads that have been run over the last couple of years in Victoria, so you can actually watch them online, and some of them are pretty horrific. We are with Jason and Kylie on Well, Well, Well.
Joy 94.9, the gayest station in the nation.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and on Sunday the 31st of May, it is going to be World No Tobacco Day. I have to keep remembering to say No Tobacco Day instead of Tobacco Day.
It's a day that doesn't exactly roll off the tongue very easily, though, is it?
No, but it is, a UN sanctioned, is that the right word, day? There's World AIDS Day, Diabetes Day, World Diabetes Day, and World No Tobacco Day. So it is a WHO kind of led campaign, and so it is global. And I guess rather than just talking about, well, if you smoke, we're not going to talk about a lot of the health related issues around, you know, lung cancer and heart disease, that kind of thing, because we've probably gone there before, we thought we'd take a look at some of the strategies that have happened over the last, almost three decades, that have been put out there to kind of reduce the number of people who are smoking, and whether they have been successful or not. Because a lot of people would say, oh yes, there has been a reduction and it's been very successful. But what is it about these campaigns that has worked? Is it because they've, increased the price of cigarettes? Or is it because you see these horrendous images on your TV, while you're having dinner? And how does that affect people who don't smoke and they have to see that?
And I think it'll be also interesting to kind of have a bit of a look at how the messaging has changed over the years, because, at the beginning of, say, 30 years ago, when the smoking cessation campaigns would come out, it was really raising awareness about the risks involved in smoking.
Yeah. Well, I guess, that's probably a good place to start, because in Victoria, in Australia, the campaigns started, in the mid-80s. They were kind of the official campaigns that started. And the first one that was national was the sponge, and they've used that over, they call it the sponge ad, but they use it, they've used it over a couple of different years. It started in 85, but then they revisited the sponge in 1995, and basically it was an ad saying, well, when you smoke, your lungs absorb tar, and so they got a sponge and said, this is the amount of tar that's in someone's lungs who's been smoking for a number of years, or this is how much you accumulate in a year. And they wrung it out into a beaker, and it was disgusting. And I guess that was the first real national ad that went around to talk about the dangers of smoking. And so they started with the health issue, and then they got quite emotive. And I'm not sure if you would, I mean, Jason, you weren't here, so you wouldn't remember these ads. And I don't know if you were, when were you born?
I was born before the sponge. So.
Okay, just before the sponge. Right. There was one where they used the Cat Stevens song, Cats in the Cradle, and it was about a young boy who'd lost his dad through smoking. And he's watching a video of all the times that he's spent with his dad, and reading it, his dad's reading a story to him in bed, and he's having a cigarette, and they're playing footy, and he's having a cigarette. And then he has this dramatic heart attack in the kitchen. He's got a carton of milk in his hand, and he, you know, collapses and he dies, and then there's the funeral. So there was that real emotive kind of a series of ads that kind of happened in sort of late 80s, early 90s.
So it was almost as if they started with kind of highlighting the risk and made it a bit more personal and sending it home to each individual smoker.
Yeah, and I guess that it's not just the health of the person who's smoking, but also the social and emotional impacts of those around you. And then the ads got quite inspirational. There was one that was I Am Woman, and it was all these women, and they're out with their friends, and, you know, looking after their kids, and that they don't need to smoke. And the slogan for that campaign was smoking, who needs it? So there was a real shift, and it wasn't about, oh, you need to quit. It was kind of like, you don't even need to start doing this because you're fabulous. And and you've got these fabulous friends, and you look beautiful, and you go out dancing, and you go out with your boyfriend, and then you go and have babies, and it's all good, and you don't need to smoke because you've got all these other things. So it was really kind of, you know, inspiring young women to kind of say, well, no, I don't need that.
But is it really, was that really realistic?
No, I don't think so, because at the time, you know, if you were there's a group of girls and they're sitting around with their friends at the pool, and one of them was probably pulling out a pack of cigarettes and saying, oh, why don't you try one of these? Oh, all right. Oh. But some of them might have said, oh, you know, I don't know. No, maybe not. I don't need that.
Well, because, you know, I remember when my mom was quitting smoking, and one of her big concerns was the fact that maybe if she quit smoking, she would look, quote unquote, less fabulous, because she was afraid of putting on weight if she quit smoking.
Yeah, so, I guess, yeah, that was the thing. A lot of people, one of the reasons that they don't quit is, oh, I'm going to put on weight. And but also that glamour that went with smoking as well. You look at the films of the 40s and the 50s, and everyone smoked, and it was, you know, fabulous and gorgeous, and just everyone did it. So I guess that was probably I think that was a big influence in the 50s and 60s for women to take up smoking at that time.
And of course, time has passed and campaigns have changed. So what was the next kind of theme or approach that they used in Australia?
Well, they sort of went back to looking at the health aspects, not just around lung cancer, but, you know, clogging of arteries and tumours, brain tumours and strokes, that kind of thing. And so it was going back to a real medicalisation of the prevention messages. And but then in, I guess, into 2000 and beyond, it became... Well, they went back to that emotive ad where a lot of people would remember that little girl sitting on the edge of her dad's hospital bed talking about the football game that she was playing in and how great it was, and I wish you could have been there, and that, and there he was in bed with emphysema and he couldn't get out of bed. And now we've kind of shifted back to the really graphic ads, and which are absolutely incredible. If you go to the website quit.org.au, some of these ads are screening nationally. There is a new campaign, Cigarettes Are Eating You Alive, and that was taken from, I think it was New York City Department of Health, and that started last week, the beginning of this week, and it screens for a month, and it's absolutely incredible. It's so graphic. I think it's probably one of the most graphic ads that I've seen. And I guess these sort of ads match what's going on with the advertising that's happening on cigarette packs as well. But yeah, Jason's
I'm
nearly vomiting.
Right, sorry, I'm a bit quiet. It's not exactly something good to be watching while I'm on air, but it's pretty. I recommend having a look, beware, it is. It's quite graphic.
Yeah, we are going to talk a little bit more about this after the next track. But if you want to share your thoughts on some of these graphic campaigns and perhaps the packaging as well, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or you can email onair@joy.org.au. This is Well on Joy 94.9.
What are we on today, Mum?
Oh, we're listening to 94.9.
Oh, that's nice.
It's different. Yeah, it's unusual.
It is nice.
It is nice to have you here with us. We're Jason and Kylie, and this is Well on Joy 94.9. And we are talking about tobacco and World No Tobacco Day, which is happening on Sunday, the 31st of May. And we were just having a chat about some of the horrific ads that have come out since the mid-80s. Talking about the dangers of smoking and how all your, you know, family members will die and how tragic it is and the emotions that were used to kind of get people to quit smoking and think of their health and their family and that they don't need it because they're strong, independent women. If only Beyonce was around.
you read my mind.
Well, actually, one of her covers of her album or the promotional poster for an album that she put out in 2007 actually breached the advertising, tobacco advertising in Australia. So they had to take down all her posters because she's holding a cigarette filter, one of those old-fashioned. So, yes. So it was a breach.
Well, we'll get onto that in a moment, but we have received a few messages. One of them from Gordon on program support, and he remembers a funny one from Scotland, which was aimed at kids and teens and featured an American-sounding voiceover to a cartoon. And no, that was not my voice. Depicting a weird planet where everyone seemed to suck on blue sticks and there's pressure to conform and appear cool. The contrast of the girl saying in a broad Scottish accent, "This tastes buggin'," is quite funny. Well, if you're Scottish. So, if you want to have a look and see what that is, of course, it is on the wonderful world of YouTube, and you can just search for...
I think it's Smoking Sticks.
Smoking Sticks.
Yeah, Smoking Sticks on YouTube.
And we've also received a message from Glenda the Cat saying that Cats in the Cradle is not by Cat Stevens. It was Gordon Lightfoot. And actually, sorry, Glenda, but the original was by Harry Chapin.
And I said it was Cat Stevens, and that's a common mistake.
Mm-hmm. There have been lots of people that have since recorded, including Ricky Skaggs.
Including Ugly Kid Joe.
Exactly.
We won't talk about that.
Yes, but moving right along, you highlighted something that's kind of been a part of the smoking cessation movement, if you will, and that's the legislation.
Yes.
And the change in legislation that have happened, and this has happened around the world.
Yeah, a whole range of it. One of the biggest ones is taxes on smoking, and I think it's around more than 60% of the total cost of the cigarette, a packet of cigarettes is tax. So but the tax in Australia goes towards sponsorship in arts and sports when they decided to ban. Advertising and sponsorship in Australia, they set up things like Vic Health and Healthway in Western Australia were set up to provide sponsorship for sporting events and arts events that were originally sponsored by cigarette companies. And one of the biggest ones, I guess, was the cricket, the world, the international World Series, one day series, and that was sponsored by a cigarette company, and they replaced it. But now we were talking about this earlier in the day, how that sponsorship has moved towards alcohol sponsorship. So I'm wondering if we will see a shift where that will be banned, if it's perceived to be as big an issue, and there's a whole issue, another issue that we could talk around about, you know, binge drinking and, you know, the cultures within sporting clubs, but it's a whole new program, which we won't want to touch on some of those issues. Because
we've had the same thing in Canada when they introduced legislation around sponsorship and advertising, and all of the events either became sponsored by lottery and gambling things or by alcohol.
Yeah, so maybe it's a lesser of two evils. But advertising, radio advertising and TV advertising was phased out quite early. So in the mid-70s, early 70s to mid-70s. And that was introduced by the Labor government under Gough Whitlam, good old Gough. And then we started to see in the late 80s these bans on different advertising, outdoor advertising and sponsorship. But then also other bans we've seen recently were changes to smoking in venues where, you know, now you can't smoke in a venue, and if you've got an area that's a smoking area that you have to have a door that can open, or I think you can have 75% coverage, but so that other 25% has got to allow fresh air in. So it's an interesting bit of legislation. But now they're even talking about, you know, fining people for smoking in cars if they've got children.
That's actually something that was that's been implemented in Ontario in Canada. But I think it's an interesting thing of how do they police it?
Yeah.
It's just like mobile phones in cars. And how many people do, as everyone's seen probably in the past 2 days, that have been driving while talking on their mobile phone.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the smoke-free policies, they've, you know, there's a range of restrictions, and it also varies on which state you're in. And, you know, for things like hospitals and, you know, at the airport, you probably notice there's areas where you can't smoke directly outside the door. You have to move to the side. And there's also, you know, talk about, you know, do people want smoking banned on the beach? And, a lot of people would like smoking banned in children's playgrounds. And also, what was the other one? Outdoor dining areas. So they're trying to get rid of it. I mean, and how much does this affect people wanting to then, well, give up smoking because they can't do it anywhere?
But I'm just reading something interesting here. And I know that when it was implemented in Canada, there was a lot of criticism about smoking bans in bars and clubs because they felt that it would affect their business. And apparently, a government survey in Sydney found that the proportion of the population attending pubs and clubs rose after the introduction of the ban on smoking in closed places.
Well, it was such a crazy argument that they were going to lose business because. You think the prevalence of smoking in Australia, 21% of women smoke and 27% of men smoke. So what's the rest of the population doing? Are they not going to pubs because they don't want to be in that smoky environment? So suddenly they've got a place to go out. And people that smoke can still go out because they can smoke outside. And a lot of venues have created... some venues have actually become more inviting because they've created these amazing outdoor areas. and so, of course, all the non-smokers are going to go, I want to go out here now because it's nice.
what was interesting was one of the gay bars in Toronto on Church Street, Woody's, if anyone's seen Queer as Folk, Woody's, went and built this massive indoor, completely ventilated smoking room. And it was disgusting because it looked like a fishbowl. That was just filthy because all you saw was this haze. It looked foggy and it reeked. And anytime someone would open the door, the smoke would seep through. And then probably within 12 months of having built it, it was then deemed to be illegal.
Actually, I just want to touch on the tax issue again before we break. So tax paid as a percentage of final recommended retail price. In 2003 in Australia, it was 68%. In France, it's 80%. Which, you know, leads me. We have a message from France, actually.
We actually do.
How was that? I didn't even think of that.
Segue. We have a bonjour from Cheryl and Wayne listening in France, a.k.a. the land of cigarettes.
And paying a lot of tax on their cigarettes.
It's the French.
Actually, I do have the... here we go. Me and my stats. I'm such a nerd.
Shuffle with the paper.
I'm such a nerd. Percentage of men... More men smoke in France and more women smoke in France. But not by much.
Let's just back this up. It's the same problem in Canada with Quebec. Quebec has the highest rate of smoking in the country.
Oh, it goes back to that.
It goes back
very
to our heritage.
Very cool, very chic, you know. It's very we're going to talk about this a little bit more after this. You're with Jason and Kylie on Well, Well, Well.
I can want to hear the best radio.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Ladytron with Weekend. And they're going to be in Melbourne next week.
Are you going?
Maybe. Yeah, one of my favourite bands. Am I going? Don't know. 5th of June at the Hi-Fi Bar.
That'd be fun.
And I forgot to mention, earlier we played Regina Spektor with Hotel Song.
That was a fun song.
It's very cute.
I'm enjoying the music tonight.
Thank you.
Once again.
Good.
I think you're trying to make me feel better.
Yes. That's right.
That's what I was thinking.
That was the reasoning.
Anyhow, we have received a message, and I think it's quite a great question, because we should have talked about this ourselves. And the question was, do we smoke?
Yes. Well, yeah, because we could have been people just having a rant, going, oh, we're smokers. I have. I don't now, okay, but so I have in the past.
How long did you smoke for?
Probably about a year. My mom is going to die.
Oh, does your mom not know that you ever smoked?
No, when I was overseas. So
this will be a test, exactly.
Let's see when Les and Jen email me and go, I cannot believe it. Yeah.
Dirty girl.
Yeah, it was when I was in the UK.
Okay.
And considering how many people smoke, I think it's because so many people smoke over there. And there are a number of reasons why I did it. I think one of the scariest things is they sell packs of 10 cigarettes. So it's very easy for people to kind of go, oh, I'll just buy 10.
I'll just buy 10 again.
But it's very rare. Like in Australia, we have big packets of cigarettes. Like you can buy a pack of 40 or 50, I think. And that's really rare. Mm. Australia does sell large packs of cigarettes. And yourself?
I've never smoked, but I will be completely honest and say that if you see me having a cigarette, it means that I probably have had way too many drinks.
Mm.
And that happens maybe once or twice a year.
I think that a lot of people would probably be in that situation.
And I think this is me analyzing my own behavior, but I think it's often because sometimes I'll be going out with friends who smoke. And if I have the choice between staying inside by myself or going outside, sometimes that peer pressure kind of rubs off on this 26-year-old boy.
Yes.
Mm. But anyhow, there you go.
There we go. We should have dimmed the lights for that, in truth, to have some dramatic music revealing all about ourselves.
Waiting for that message from Les and Jen.
I'm going to get a phone call after the show.
Well, this will actually be a testament as to whether or not they're still listening. So yes. I want a message, Les and Jen. I want a message.
Here we go.
There we go.
Anyway, let's
move
on.
They want to know your other dirty, dark secrets, but I think we'll keep those for another show.
And it's in bold. She's shouting at me.
Anyway,
one thing I wanted to talk about, because I love and care for my parents, is in part of their message, they said they didn't have any flu symptoms. And part of that, if you remember last week, they were in the studio and they did fly back to Perth on Saturday.
And what flight were they on, Kylie?
They were on the flight with the Fremantle Dockers, which I found very exciting because that is my team. But they were also on a flight with someone who was diagnosed with influenza H1N1, as I like to call it. Other people calling it swine flu or pig flu, which I think is really inappropriate.
Sorry to interrupt, but I was driving along on Toorak Road in a cab today, and on the back of a ute, I saw a fiberglass pig with a surgical mask on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, anyway.
It's gone. Yeah, so they were on a flight, and they are all fine, but they... The procedure that they followed was that they contacted people sitting two rows in front and two rows behind the person that had been carrying it. But I think there's been a lot of hype around the issue. I mean, it's important that people are worried about it. But I think, I've had a few issues with the way it's been covered in the media because it's been very hyped up. And I think there's been a missed opportunity to actually provide people with some really good information about what to do. And there has been ads from the Australian government in the paper, and they're going to be running commercials, I think, from last night about the symptoms and what people should do.
I've heard the radio ads already yesterday when I was OFSIC.
Yeah, and but, I mean, people are saying they haven't been doing enough, and I think that, you know, personally, I think it's good because, I mean, we've seen in other countries what has happened, and the hype has kind of died down, and if people are taking the right precautions, yeah, it's about looking out for each other. And
but I think one of the problems with the way that it's been reported in the media, it seems to, the purpose of the article seemed to kind of be to build hysteria and to kind of highlight where people may have stuffed up when really the response has been quite good.
Yeah.
Whereas it would have been a little bit more useful rather than to build the hysteria, provide people the information that they need.
Yeah, they've detected cases, they've advised people on what to do, and if they've had to quarantine a school or they haven't had to quarantine a business yet, but they've taken appropriate steps.
They have closed a business, though.
Have they?
They closed a McDonald's up in Epping yesterday.
Yeah. They can't shut everything down, because I think if 4 days ago they decided that no one was allowed to go to the footy, no one was allowed to catch public transport, and everything was shut down, I think people would be being outraged about that. So I think there's a lot of the media, for me, has been keeping that creating that outrage at the wrong thing and not actually being quite sensible about it.
Well, I was talking to you about this earlier today when we were discussing kind of topics for the show, and the media report of the cruise ship that was held up in Sydney.
Didn't they call it the swine flu ship or something? It was, yeah. And I don't see what that does. Well, I understand why they do it. No, I don't actually understand why they do it, but why they want to do it is,
they took the precautions, and people were unhappy. If they don't take the precautions, people will be unhappy.
Yeah. it's a non-win-win situation.
But anyhow.
But if we do have there is an influenza line that people can contact if they are experiencing any of the symptoms. I'll just get that number. I've written it down. Okay, it's 1-800-2007. So it's 1-800-2007. And, just the basic things to follow around, washing your hands, covering your mouth and nose when you sneeze or cough. And just looking after your family and, being aware of if there's any symptoms, to go see your doctor. Talking to your children about it. And, hand washing is important anyway. If people wash their hands, we wouldn't have a whole range of things. But anyway, that's
enough. I was expecting a bit of a Kylie rant.
I actually wrote on here Kylie's influenza rant. But I was, I remained calm.
You were tame this time around. I was expecting a bit more hysteria.
Yes. And you can go to the website healthemergency.gov.au, and there's information about a whole range of different health emergencies that you might need to know about. Just being aware and following general hygiene practices.
Indeed. But we've got a few little bits of information that we wanted to talk about that's happening in the community. And the first of which, sorry, I know we're running out of time.
You better hurry.
I can talk quick. Is Melbourne Rovers are running their Social Soccer Sunday again this coming Sunday, May 31st, at Faulkner Park at 2 p.m. until 4. And it's a great opportunity for people who want to have a kick around in a really recreational kind of setting. If you haven't played before, if you played before, everyone and anyone is welcome, men and women. Afterwards, the boys and girls will be heading out for a drink or two at a local pub. So if you're interested in more information, you can log on to melbourneroverssc.org.au.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.